Bantam Audio Publishing presents a Dell production of Circle of Friends by Maeve Binchy. Knockglen, 1949. The kitchen was full of the smells of baking. Benny put down her school bag and went on a tour of inspection.
The cake hasn't been iced yet, Patsy explained. The mistress will do that herself.
What are you going to put on it?
Benny was eager.
I suppose happy birthday, Benny. Patsy was surprised.
Maybe she'll put Benny Hogan, 10.
I never saw that on a cake.
I think it is when it's a big birthday, like being 10.
Oh, maybe. Patsy was doubtful.
I can't believe I'm going to be 10, Benny said, delighted with herself.
Oh, it's a big day, all right. Patsy spoke absently as she greased the trays for the queen cakes with a scrap of butter paper.
What did you do when you were 10?
Don't you know, with me every day was the same, Patsy said cheerfully. There was no day different in the orphanage until I came out of it and came here.
Benny loved to hear stories of the orphanage. She thought it was better than anything they read in books. There was the room with the 12 iron beds in it, the nice girls, the terrible girls, the time they all got nits in their hair and had their heads shaved.
They must have had birthdays, Benny insisted.
I don't remember them, Patsy sighed. Oh, there was a nice nun who said to me that I was Wednesday's child, full of woe.
That wasn't nice.
Well, at least she knew I was born on a Wednesday.
Oh, here's your mother. Now let me get on with the work. Annabel Hogan came in carrying three big bags. She was surprised to see her daughter sitting, swinging her legs in the kitchen.
Aren't you home nice and early?
Let me put these things upstairs.
Benny ran over to Patsy when her mother's heavy tread was heard on the stairs.
Do you think she got it?
Oh, don't ask me, Benny. I know nothing.
You're saying that because you do know.
I don't, really.
Was she in Dublin? Did she go up on the bus? Benny asked.
No, not at all.
But she must have.
Benny seemed very disappointed.
No, she's not long gone at all. She was only up the town.
There was no time to discuss it further. Benny's mother was back in the kitchen, her coat off, and down to business with the icing sugar.
Were you in Dublin at all today, Mother?
No, child, I had enough to do getting things ready for the party.
Oh, it's just I was wondering.
Parties don't run themselves, you know.
The words sounded sharp, but the tone was kindly. Benny knew her mother was looking forward to it all, too.
And will Father be home for the cake bit?
Oh, yes, he will. We've asked the people for 3:30. They'll all be here by 4, so we needn't sit down to the tea until 5:30. And we wouldn't have got to the cake until your father has the business closed and is back here.
Benny's father ran Hogan's Outfitters, the big menswear shop in the middle of Knockglen. The shop was often at its busiest on a Saturday when the farmers were marched in by their wives to have themselves fitted out by Mr. Hogan. Benny was glad that her father would be there for the cake, because that was when she might be given her present. Father had said it was going to be a wonderful surprise. Benny knew that they must have got her the velvet dress with the lacy collar and the pumps to go with it. She had wanted it since last Christmas when they went to the pantomime in Dublin, and she had seen the girls on the stage dancing in pink velvet dresses like this. They had heard that they sold them in Cleary's, and that was only a few minutes from where the bus stopped when it went to Dublin. Benny was large and square, but she wouldn't look like that in the pink velvet dress. She would be just like the fairy dancers they had seen on the stage. And her feet wouldn't look big and flat in those shoes because they had lovely pointy toes and little pom-poms on them. The invitations to the party had been sent out 10 days ago. There would be 7 girls from school, farmers' daughters mainly, from outside Knockglen, and Moira Carroll, whose mother and father owned the grocery. And her mother had insisted she invite Eve Malone. Eve was the girl who lived in the convent and knew all the nuns' secrets.
Some people at school said, "Look how Mother Frances never gives out to Eve. She's the real pet." Others said the nuns had to keep her for charity and didn't like her as much as they liked the other girls whose families all contributed something to the upkeep of St. Mary's. Eve was small and dark. She looked like a pixie sometimes, her eyes darting here and there, forever watchful. Benny neither liked Eve nor disliked her. She envied her, being so fleet and lithe and able to climb walls. She knew that Eve had her own room in the convent, behind the curtain where no other girl was allowed to step. Sometimes Mother Frances and Peggy Pine, who ran the dress shop, would take her on an outing to Dublin, but she had never stayed away a night. Once, when they had gone on a nature walk, Eve had pointed to a small cottage and said that it was her house. It stood in a group of small houses, each separate and surrounded by a little stone wall. No one knew whether to believe her or not. Eve was so strange. She could make up tales, and then, when everyone had got interested, she would say, "Fooled ya." Benny didn't really want her to come to the party, but for once, Mother had been insistent. "That child has no home. She must come to this one when there's a celebration." Eve had written a very neat, correct letter saying that she accepted the invitation with pleasure. At school next day, even the girls who hadn't been asked to the party wished Benny a happy birthday. "What are you getting?" somebody asked. "I don't know. It's a surprise," Benny said. "Is it a dress?" "Yes, I think so. I won't have it till the party." "Was it got in Dublin?" "I think so." Eve spoke suddenly. "It might have been got here. There's lots of things in Mrs. Pine's." "I don't think so." Benny tossed her head. Eve shrugged. "Okay." The others had gone away. Benny turned on Eve. "Why did you say that it was got in Mrs. Pine's? You don't know. You don't know anything." "I said okay." "Have you got a frock?" "Yes, Mother Frances got one at Mrs. Pine's. I don't think it's new. I think someone gave it back because there was something wrong with it." Eve wasn't apologetic. Her eyes flashed. She was ready with the explanation before anyone else could make the accusation. "Well, you don't know that," Benny said. "No, but I think it. Mother Frances wouldn't have the money to buy me a new frock." Benny looked at Eve with admiration. She softened in her own attack. "Well, I don't know either. I think they got me this lovely velvet one, but they mightn't."
"Well, they got you something new anyway," Eve said.
"Yes, but I'd really look great in this," Benny said. "It would make anyone look great."
"Don't think about it too much," Eve warned.
"Maybe you're right. It's nice for you to ask me to the party. I didn't think you liked me," Eve said.
"Oh, I do."
Poor Benny was flustered.
"Good. Just as long as you weren't told to or anything."
"No. Heavens, no."
Benny was far too vehement. Eve looked at her with a measured glance.
"Right," she said. "See you this afternoon."
They went to school on Saturday mornings, and at 12:30, when the bell went, they all poured out of the school gates, all except Eve, who went to the convent's kitchen.
"Oh, we'll have to feed you up with a good meal before you go," said Sister Margaret.
"We wouldn't want them to think that a girl from St. Mary's would eat all before her when she went out to tea," said Sister Jerome.
They didn't want to spell it out too much for Eve, but it was a big event. The child they had brought up being invited out to a party. The whole community was delighted for her.
When Benny got home, she asked her mother what was uppermost on her mind.
"Will I be getting dressed like in anything new before the party?"
"I think so," her mother said. "I think we'll have you looking like the bee's knees before they come in."
"Will I put it on now?"
Sample complete. Ready to continue?